We're reading from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who's come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Well, good evening, everyone. As Libby said, my name's Emily. I've been a member of this church for about 15 years. My day job is as a teacher, but I'm also in the church office as a ministry assistant one day a week. And it's really great for me to have the opportunity to speak to you tonight. So I hope that what I have to say is helpful to you. So let's just pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us through this passage tonight. In your name, amen. So, let's talk about bread. I wonder what your feelings are about bread. People have very different views on bread these days, don't they? And apologies if you've not had your dinner yet, because this might make you hungry. Bread comes in many forms, doesn't it? The famous lockdown sourdough, focaccia, chapati, naan bread, pumpernickel, soda bread, tortilla, pita, and even the Scottish bannock, I found out. Bread is a universal food for humanity. It appears in every culture and in every country in our world. Everybody is familiar with bread. And many people in rich countries have started to kind of turn away from bread, haven't they? Maybe you have as well, cutting out carbohydrates from your diet. But of course, this is something that is a luxury in rich countries because we have other foodstuffs to nourish us. But in poorer countries, bread is life. The Romans understood the history of bread and the necessity of it. Juvenal, one of the Roman poets, coined the famous phrase, "bread and circuses," when he was talking about what the populace needed to keep them happy and under control. They needed basic food, bread, and entertainment, circuses. Marie Antoinette, the last queen of France, famously misjudged the population when she said, "Let them eat cake," because they had no bread. But we know, of course, if they didn't have any bread, there was no chance of any cake. And closer to home, as I mentioned, during the COVID lockdown, many of us got good at baking our own bread, making sourdough from our own homemade starters. That was impressive. I have to say, I didn't really have the patience to do it, but I loved eating it. And the website for Grant's Bakery that I was looking at as I was researching this talk describes bread as the most important thing in history. Well, you may take issue with that statement, but we can probably all agree that bread is important. And tonight we are going to consider the earthly provision of bread and fish to the hungry crowd. We see Jesus' miracle provides an immediate solution to a physical need, because God does care about our basic physical needs. However, as we will see, the story leads on to another type of bread, one that permanently satisfies our spiritual hunger and leads us to eternal life with Jesus. So this provides us with a choice tonight. Do we settle for bread to survive or bread to thrive? Let's begin with the earthly bread in the story. We know that there is great need in our country and in our world at the moment. We are in a time of food poverty in the UK and desperate hunger in the wider world. Some statistics for you. You may know these. According to the Trussell Trust, in 2022, more than 1 in 6 people in Scotland were living with food insecurity. That equates to 1.2 million people in our own country. Action Against Hunger tells us that globally, although there is enough food in this world for everyone to eat, over 800 million people, 1 in 10, are at risk of life-threatening hunger. Hunger is rife, isn't it? In the wider world and on our doorstep. Perhaps you are hungry tonight. And if you are and need help, please come and speak to us at the end and we can help you. Our passage tonight, and you may want to have this open in your Bibles in front of you, is often called the feeding of the 5,000. It appears in all 4 Gospels, which shows the importance of this story to the first Christian witnesses. And in our passage, there is hunger. Galilee was largely a peasant community that had to work the land for a subsistence wage. So these people who came to see Jesus would have food on their minds. And this story takes place at the time of Passover, the Jewish festival that commemorates the events of the book of Exodus, where God liberated the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. The Passover was the night when the angel of death literally passed over the homes of the Israelites, but killed all firstborn children in the homes of the Egyptians. And as we see in the slide, the angel passed over the homes that were marked with the blood of the sacrificed lamb. It is a terrible, disturbing story, but it is also the story of the deliverance of God's people. Because Pharaoh was devastated by the loss of his firstborn son, he eventually allowed the Israelites to go and leave slavery in Egypt, and they went into the wilderness. And there they are fed with something called manna, which was a form of bread from heaven. So at the time of this Passover festival, when the Jewish people remembered how they were rescued and fed by God, we see that Jesus is followed by a huge crowd who are also hungry for sustenance. In verse 2, we are told that a great crowd of people followed Jesus because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus wants to provide for these people. 5,000 men, it tells us, so presumably there are a similar number of women and children. And Jesus asked Philip, because he's a local to that area, he asks him a question, to which Philip gives him a very human answer. Jesus asks, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Verse 7, Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." The situation looks bleak. Andrew, another one of the disciples, is more open-minded, and he at least brings a partial, albeit very partial, solution. In verse 8, we read, "Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Apparently, barley loaves were the cheapest form of bread you could make in that culture. This is a very meager offering from a child. But Jesus doesn't reject it, because God uses whatever we have. Resources are no barrier. Age is no barrier either. Jesus accepts any contribution and works with it. And as you know, tonight is our Pray, Serve, Give service. And perhaps you're sitting and thinking, well, I've got nothing to offer. Please be assured, God will accept and multiply anything you can offer tonight. In verse 10, we read that Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. This contribution is blessed by God. And here we see the supernatural multiplication. Our willingness is blessed by God and used in extraordinary ways. If this boy had not brought his contribution, then the miracle could not have happened. If we withhold what we have, even if we think it's meager and not useful, opportunities are missed. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, we read that God can work miracles with whatever we offer. Paul reminds us that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. So God's work in us is more than we could ask or imagine. And in our passage, all the hungry are fed, and the blessing even extends past the moment. The disciples are further blessed with the leftovers to take away. In verse 12, when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. There is more left over at the end than what they started with. And there's an obvious application for us here, isn't there? That God's abundant grace can do great things with what we offer, and the ripple effects of our obedience will extend past our knowledge. We don't always see what God does with what we offer him, but he is certainly working in ways that we may never see. In verse 14, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So people recognize that Jesus is from God, but they misunderstand. Their minds are set on the earthly things. They've received earthly bread and fish, and they want to make Jesus an earthly king, just like any other king. Is your mind on earthly things tonight, perhaps? Are you relying on your own strength? Are you just surviving and feel like there must be more to life than this? And when we lean on our own understanding and we lean on our own strength, we run the risk of burning out. I know that I can get exhausted when I run around trying to do everything in my own strength. I can lack the eternal perspective, losing sight of how God can strengthen me and sustain me if I join in with him and what he's doing. I don't know if you've seen the banners outside St. Mary's Cathedral across the road, but there's one that says, "Look up, you might just find what you're looking for." And on it is a person with their head buried in their phone. And I walk past that banner every day and think, that's me. I scurry around with my head in my phone, doing my stuff. But we should look up more, shouldn't we? And see what God is doing and join in with that. Because that's the life that Jesus is talking about here. So let's move on to what this miracle with the bread and fish was really all about. The bread of life. The bread that satisfies our spiritual hunger, that enables us not just to survive, but to thrive. And the day after the feeding of the 5,000, the same people seek Jesus out again. And Jesus challenges them. He suggests that they've only come to see him again so their stomachs can be filled again. If you read on to verse 26, you'll read this. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "Well, what must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And he goes on to declare in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I am the bread of life. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is the bread from heaven. He is the new Passover lamb whose blood delivers us from sin and death and leads us into the promised land of eternal life. God gives us earthly bread to sustain us. It allows us to survive. It's not to be underestimated. We need it, especially when other food sources are scarce. Earthly bread satisfies our physical hunger. And God will provide for people, often through the work of the church, so they have what they need. But the bread of life allows us to thrive. It provides real satisfaction. It satisfies our spiritual hunger. And here, Jesus is inviting us to the next level. He doesn't just want to sustain us. He wants to transform us. Jesus wants to give us eternal life. Life in all its fullness, both now and in the kingdom to come. We are called now to reflect the image of God, to join in now with what God is doing, making a way for his kingdom to come. And this is costly. It does demand our time. It demands our money, our skills, our gifts. It demands our energy. But we are called to be part of Jesus' mission. A mission that is good news for the poor, a mission that proclaims freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, a mission that sets the oppressed free. Do you want to be part of that mission? Because I do. Let me give you an example of what this means for me. I'm part of the children's ministry team here, working with a brilliant group of P7 children, that's my group, twice a month at the 10 o'clock service. In doing this, I know I am part of something bigger than myself. I've got the privilege of influencing young people in our community, working with a team that is dedicated to the kingdom of God and working within the strength of God. Yes, it can be hard work sometimes, but it is shared and joyful work that reveals again and again to me that I am a valued part of the body of Christ, the church. And if you grew up in a church, you might remember your Sunday school leader. In my case, it was one woman, which reveals the size of our children's ministry. But she offered what she had to God. And through her contribution, over the years, she reached many children with the good news of Jesus. She died many years ago, but her influence remains. Because she offered her bread and fishes, as it were, I am able to offer mine. And the supernatural multiplication of her offering and your offering and my offering will continue in ways that we will never know, because it's in God's hands and he will continue to use it powerfully. God wants to use your offering tonight, whatever that may be, for his kingdom. And in getting involved in eating the bread of life, in taking that step to accept Jesus, you're invited to join in with what God is doing through his people. And the ripples of salvation will extend way beyond you. He wants you to have life in all its fullness, becoming everything you were created to be. If you want to accept Jesus tonight, and you haven't already done so, please come and talk to the prayer ministry team or the clergy. They would be delighted to talk to you. So what does this mean for all of us then? You know, we're just almost getting to the end of this talk, but I just wanted to say that our reading tonight reminds me of a series of books that I used to enjoy when I was a child. Many of you are much younger than me, but some of you may remember a publishing phenomenon, the Choose Your Own Adventure books. I loved these books. They were written in the second person, and you were the main character. You would be guided through a story and given regular choices to make. And at the end of every section, you would have two or three possible responses, each one taking you to a different page. Occasionally, you made a poor choice and you died. But you could go back to your last fatal choice and make a different one. And that would hopefully extend the story. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus' words about the bread of life remind me of these books. Because we are given a choice. We can choose the bread that is provided through creation. We will survive, but our lives will be earthbound and limited. Or we can accept Jesus as the bread of life. When we believe in him as our savior, we are given eternal life, a life of purpose and impact that is beyond all we can ask or imagine. That's your first choice. If you choose the bread of life, Jesus will expect you to play your part in the story of salvation. You are now one of his disciples, and he will ask you, just as he asked Philip and Andrew, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? This is your second choice. What will your answer be? Will you be like Philip and give the earthbound answer, resigned with hopelessness in the face of lack of funds, lack of energy, lack of time, lack of resources, lack of confidence? Or will you be like Andrew? Will you bring what you have or find someone else who could bring something? We see from our reading tonight that Jesus will accept, he will bless, and he will multiply whatever you bring. So the choice is yours. Do you choose simply to survive this earthly life in your own strength by eating bread that eventually spoils and will lead to death? Or do you choose to eat the bread of life, to thrive, to accept Jesus and never go hungry? If you eat the bread of life, be ready for an adventure. It will never be dull, but it will cost you everything you have. But as Jesus says, the burden is light if we rely on his strength rather than our own. And Jesus will ask you, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Or to put it another way, he will say to you, how can we help that lonely person in our class? How could we help that colleague who seems to be struggling? What should we do about the homelessness in this city? What should we do about the need for people on the presentation team, or the tea and coffee team, or the children's team, or the welcome team? When Jesus asks us these questions, and he surely will, when he asks, we better be ready with our answer.